Hello, welcome to All Saints Parish Church in Gosforth, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, in the northeast of England. Today is Sunday the 22nd of November 2020, the Sunday next before Advent. Evening prayer will follow in a few moments. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Beloved, we are come together in the presence of Almighty God and of the whole company of heaven, to offer unto him through our Lord Jesus Christ our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to make confession of our sins, to pray as well for others as for ourselves, that we may know more truly the greatness of God's love, and show forth in our lives the fruits of his grace, and to ask on behalf of all men such things as their well-being doth require. Wherefore, let us join in silence, and remember God's presence with us now. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised.
Psalm 93. The Lord is King, and hath put on glorious apparel. The Lord hath put on his apparel, and girded himself with strength.
He hath made the round world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began hath thy seat been prepared. Thou art from everlasting.
The floods are risen, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves.
The waves of the sea are mighty and rage horribly. But yet the Lord who dwelleth on high is mightier.
Thy testimonies, O Lord, are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 23. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke, the Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burnt up where they lie. There ends the Old Testament reading.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He, remembering his mercy, hath holpen his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." There ends the New Testament reading.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, we may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last few weeks in the political sphere have been quite the most exciting that I can remember. The continuing inability of Donald Trump to lose the American election, the ejection of Dominic Cummings from Downing Street, and the leaked report about Priti Patel's bullying. Each has been significant. There will be consequences, but we've yet to know what they are. The antics of our governing classes came straight to my mind when I started to think about this address. The focus liturgically was on Christ the King this morning. This evening is billed as the Sunday next before Advent, but tonight's first reading brings up the common theme to both, kingship. Kingship in the Old Testament is a big business, in the New Testament too, but the Old sets the scene. At the outset, it's represented as a bad idea. Samuel the seer answered the people of Israel's campaign for a king by warning them. He will take your sons and make them serve in his chariots. He will take your daughters for perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will seize the best of your fields. Taking a king would cost them dear in future. Well, a king they would have. Enter David to become a hero of that story. His kingdom became for later generations a memory of past glory. Yet even David fell short of perfect. He pushed boundaries to woo Bathsheba and had her husband done away with. It was beastly. But the story is all too common. A modern parallel is John F. Kennedy. He too was a star in the line of United States presidents. He too was a flawed character, being a serial womanizer. David's son, by the same Bathsheba, was Solomon. I remember from about 35 to 40 years ago, the then Archdeacon of Newcastle, Christopher Unwin, referring to Solomon as a bad joke in the New Testament. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, a reference to the lilies of the field in the Sermon on the Mount. Solomon was the high point of wealth and success by the standards of the time. Yet as the first book of Kings has it, King Solomon loved many foreign women. His wives turned his heart to follow other gods. Following other gods was a euphemism for moral corruption and sleaze. We too have become very familiar with sleaze in recent years. And so to Rehoboam, son of Solomon. When he met a deputation from his people, they asked him what kind of king he would be. His reply, again from the first book of Kings, "My father whipped you, but I shall flay you." That confrontation led to rebellion and the division of the kingdom into two. We've had our cases of confrontation too. Think of the expulsion of Dominic Cummings, and then there's Priti Patel. Now all this seems very negative. How not to be a king, as one might say. There is, however, a very positive side to kingship in the Old Testament. In Psalm 2, by tradition written by David, we read, "You are my son," he said to me, "this day I become your father." That's matched by this evening's second reading. David says, "The Spirit of God has spoken to me." The Old Testament writers perceived a charisma of kingship. Their king was Son of God. The two texts I've mentioned bring that out. That perception helps me to understand why 74 million people voted for Donald Trump despite his faults. For David was son of God despite his faults. Son of God, too, was the phrase the New Testament writers adopted for Jesus. Consider Mark's Gospel. In the baptism of Jesus, at the beginning of his Gospel, a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son." The New Testament writers have a much more positive view of sonship. Paul in Philippians wrote, "Christ Jesus was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in the likeness of men." I'm at one here with Professor James Dunn from Nottingham. He thinks that the idea behind Paul's description comes from Genesis. You will remember, God created human beings in his own image. There is something of that divine charisma in all of us. It's the basis of our ideas of human dignity. In Jesus' case, far from looking for security, seeking power, pursuing self-interest from that divine image, he rather espoused risk. Meeting humans where they are, without regard to social class or state of health. Indeed, he seemed to go out of his way to associate with outcasts. That's what Paul must have had in mind, emptying himself. There's a name for it, kenosis, the charisma of emptying oneself of rank and entitlement in order to meet others where they are. That will always involve risk. Take, for example, the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel. In the story, Jesus fed 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish. At the end, Jesus seems to shy away from the situation. Jesus, realizing that they meant to come and seize him to make him king, withdrew again to the hills by himself. In the Revised English Bible's version. You would think that the time to take off would be when they all realized that they were getting hungry. 5,000 followers, mesmerized by Jesus' teaching, forgetful of their material needs, far from sources of supply. Jesus took a risk by asking what they had. There might have been no response. It might have started a stampede. But from the response, "Here is a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was able charismatically to provide for all. You can see why they wanted to make him king. Later in the same Gospel, John goes on to spell out what kenosis, that emptying of himself, meant. You will remember the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Kingship, in Jesus' case, is a strategy of risk and of self-sacrifice. It's to that that Jesus calls us in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. "Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples." So to celebrate Christ the King means accepting the charisma of Jesus. Kingship is an opportunity for risk in the service of others. That is our calling too. So what does that mean for us from tomorrow? It means that we should ask ourselves an important question. When we have power or responsibility, and we all have it, large or small, not just prime ministers, Downing Street minions et al. We're parents, friends, teachers, bus drivers, hospital workers, social workers, cleaners, taxi drivers, hairdressers. When we have power or responsibility, how do we use it? To line our own nests? To manipulate others for our advantage? To keep opportunities only for ourselves? Or rather, do we see power as an opportunity for risk? Risk in meeting others where they are, affirming others in their roles, looking for opportunities to build others up in turn for their own responsibilities. To look to the future when we shall be gone and others must take over. That's the challenge I leave with you tonight.
Round me falls the night, Saviour, be my light. Through the rising darkness shrouded, let me see thy face unclouded, let thy glory shine in this heart of mine. Earthly work is done, earthly sons are none. Rest in sleep and silence seeking, let me softly speaking in my spirit's ear, whisper, cry, I am here. Blessed heavenly light, shining through us night, voice that oft of love has told me, arms so strong to clasp and hold me, thou thy watch wilt keep, Saviour, for my sleep.
Let us pray. Lord God, you grant to leaders, chief executives, project leaders, and all charged with great responsibility, the gift of charisma and inspiration to win minds and spirits. Grant to all the grace of wisdom, restraint, and integrity, that they may use their power in service to affirm others and to secure our future, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, as the Good Shepherd, died for his flock. Amen. God our Father, who has made us part of your creation with its great potential for good, you know that we are often beset by many and great difficulties. Help us to accept the responsibilities you call us to take, to use the respect that others give us wisely, with a mind for the common good, and give us the grace to have balance of judgment in exercising oversight of others. For Jesus Christ's sake, who prayed that the cup pass not from his lips, but that your will be done. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, apostle, priest, and servant, bless the bishops, priests, deacons, and other ministers of your church, that they may lead your people boldly, walk with them lovingly, and send them forth joyfully to proclaim the good news of your kingdom, where you live for ever and ever. Amen. O God, the giver of life and health and joy, we pray that your will may be done in and for those who suffer sickness and disease. Through the ministry of men and women who have understanding and ability to help, may they be restored to soundness of body and mind, and through medical research and discovery, may new cures be found to bring fresh hope to the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and do promise that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.